Life is so scary and so confusing. I wish things could be more clear.
There's nothing scary about life if you are not attached to results.
You mean if you don't want anything?
That's right. Choose, but don't want.
That's easy for people who don't have anyone depending on them. What if you have a wife and children?
The path of the householder has always been a most challenging path. Perhaps the most challenging. As you point out, it is easy to want nothing when you're only dealing with yourself. It is natural when you have others you love to want only the best for them.
Well, it hurts when you can't give them all that you want them to have. A nice home, some decent clothes, enough food. I feel as though I've been struggling for 20 years just to make ends meet, when I still have nothing to show for it.
You mean in terms of material wealth?
I mean in terms of just some of the basics that a man would like to pass on to his children. I mean in terms of some of the very simple things a man would like to provide for his wife.
I see. You see, it is your job in life to provide all these things. Is that what you imagine your life to be about?
I'm not sure I'd state it that way. This is not what my life is about. But it sure would be nice if this could be a byproduct, at least.
Well, let's go back then. What do you see your life being about?
That's a good question. I've had a lot of different answers to that through the years.
What is your answer now?
Well, it feels as though I have two answers to that question. The answer I'd like to see and the answer I'm seeing.
What's the answer you'd like to see?
I'd like to see my life being about the evolution of my soul. I'd like to see my life being about expressing and experiencing the part of me I love most, the part of me that is compassion and patience and giving and helping, the part of me that is knowing and wise, forgiving and love.
Sounds like you've been listening to me.
Yes. Yes, it's beautiful on an esoteric level, but I'm trying to figure out how to practicalize that. So the answer to your question that I see being real in my life is that it's about day-to-day survival.
Oh, and you think one precludes the other?
Well,
you think esoterics preclude survival?
The truth is, I'd like to do more than just survive. I've been surviving all these years. I notice I'm still here. But I'd like the struggle for survival to end. I see that just getting by from day to day is still a struggle. I'd like to do more than just survive. I'd like to prosper.
And what would you call prospering?
Having enough that I don't have to worry where my next dollar is coming from. Not having to stress and strain just to make the rent or handle the phone bill. I mean, I hate to get so mundane, but we're talking real life here, not an airy-fairy, spiritually romanticized picture of life.
Do I hear a little anger there?
Not anger so much as frustration. I've been at the spiritual game for over 20 years now, and look where it's gotten me. One paycheck away from the poorhouse. And now I've just lost my job, and it looks like the cash flow has stopped again. I'm getting really tired of the struggle. I'm 49 years old, and I'd like to have some security in life so I could devote more time to God stuff, to soul evoluting. That is where my heart is, but it's not where my life allows me to go.
Well, you've said a mouthful there, and I suspect you're speaking for a whole lot of people when you share that experience. I'm going to respond to your truth one sentence at a time so that we can easily track and dissect the answer. You've not been at this spiritual game for 20 years. You've been barely skirting the edges of it. This is not a spanking, by the way. This is just a statement of the truth. I'll concede that for 2 decades you've been looking at it, flirting with it, experimenting now and then, but I haven't felt your truest commitment to the game until just recently. Let's be clear that being at the spiritual game means dedicating your whole mind, your whole body, your whole soul to the process of creating self in the image and likeness of God. This is the process of self-realization about which Eastern mystics have written. This is the process of salvation to which much Western theology has devoted itself. This is a day-to-day, hour-to-hour, moment-to-moment act of supreme consciousness. It is a choosing and a re-choosing every instant. It is ongoing creation, conscious creation, creation with a purpose. It is using the tools of creation we have discussed and using them with awareness and sublime intention. That is playing this spiritual game. Now, how long have you been at this?
I haven't even begun.
Don't go from one extreme to the other, and don't be so hard on yourself. You have been dedicated to this process, and you're actually engaged in it more than you'll give yourself credit for. But you haven't been doing so for 20 years, or anything close to that. Yet the truth is, how long you have been engaged in it is not important. Are you engaged in it now? That's all that matters. Let's move on with your
statement. You ask us to look where it's gotten you, and you describe yourself as being one step away from the poorhouse. I look at you and see quite a different thing. I see a person who's one step away from the rich house. You feel you are one paycheck from oblivion, and I see you as one paycheck from nirvana. Now, much depends, of course, on what you see as your pay and to what end you are working. If the object of your life is to acquire what you call security, I see and understand why you feel you are one paycheck away from the poorhouse. Yet even this assessment is open to correction, because with my pay, all good things come to you, including the experience of feeling secure in the physical world. My pay, the payoff you get when you work for me, provides a great deal more than spiritual comfort. Physical comfort, too, can be yours. Yet the ironic part about all this is that once you experience the kind of spiritual comfort my payoff provides, the last thing you'll find yourself worrying about is physical comfort. Even the physical comfort of members of your family will no longer be a concern to you. For once you rise to a level of God consciousness, you will understand that you are not responsible for any other human soul, and that while it is commendable to wish every soul to live in comfort, each soul must choose, is choosing, its own destiny this instant. Clearly, it is not the highest action to deliberately abuse or destroy another. Clearly, it is equally inappropriate to neglect the needs of those you have caused to be dependent on you. Your job is to render them independent, to teach them as quickly and completely as possible how to get along without you. For you are no blessing to them as long as they need you to survive, but bless them truly only in the moment they realize you are unnecessary. In the same sense, God's greatest moment is the moment you realize you need no God. I know, this is the antithesis of everything you've ever been taught. Your teachers have told you of an angry God, a jealous God, a God who needs to be needed. And that is not a God at all, but a neurotic substitute for that which would be a deity. A true master is not the one with the most students, but one who creates the most masters. A true leader is not the one with the most followers, but one who creates the most leaders. A true king is not the one with the most subjects, but one who leads the most to royalty. A true teacher is not the one with the most knowledge, but one who causes the most others to have knowledge. And a true God is not one with the most servants, but one who serves the most, thereby making gods of all others. For this is both the goal and the glory of God, that my subjects shall be no more, and that all shall know God not as the unattainable, but as the unavoidable.